In studying the Word of God, when we rightly divide the Scripture, we find that we must look at who it's wrote to and why it's wrote to them and when it's wrote to them. Now, the Scripture gives us many reasons of why it's wrote to us. One, the most important thing is to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. That's why we have the Scripture tonight, is to tell us how to be saved. And I'm glad we've got a book tonight. If you think about that, a lot of times we take Scripture for granted. But how else would we know about how to get saved if we didn't have the Word of God? How else would we know that we were going to have heaven once we left here if we didn't have the Word of God? How else would we know and not how to live if we didn't have the Word of God? So I think tonight that the Word of God ought to have preeminence in your life. The psalmist David in Psalms 119, he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Jeremiah said, I found thy word and I did eat them. I believe Job at another time talks about finding the Word of God and how precious it was unto him. And the Word of God is all we have tonight and that to depend on. And I'm glad tonight that this book is real. I'm glad that every jot and every tittle, let me put it to you like this, every little letter, every big letter, every I, every T, every word, every comma, every period, every exclamation point, I believe is in the right place. And God wanted us to have His Word tonight and that to guide us in our life and to strengthen us and to help us. I find tonight when I look in the Word of God that I can find comfort and I can find relief and I can find joy and I find conviction when I look into the Word of God. And sometimes that's why we don't look into the Word of God, ain't it? It's because of the convicting power that it has. Hey, I've had to quit reading in my study before, get down on my hands and knees and ask God to forgive me. And I'm being honest with you. Come across some things in some Scripture just try to get right with God. Amen. And that's what I think we're to do tonight. But always remember the Word of God is what you need. Amen. It is always what I need. And it'll always help us. The Word of God will always help us. Let me pray real quick, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you tonight for helping us so far in this meeting. And Lord, we just want to do right tonight from the Scripture. I want to have the right spirit, the right mind. And Lord, we pray that you'd guide us and direct us tonight in the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for the grace that you give us. It's so real, and we thank you for that. Now help us now while we look in your Word for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look with me tonight in Matthew chapter 24. And I want to read in verse 21. Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 21. Now keeping in mind that we're studying, rightly dividing the Word of truth, and we're talking about dispensations in the Bible. And so we find that we come to verse 21 of Matthew chapter 24, and the Lord Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So now we've studied so far up until this time, we've studied about innocence, conscience, the dispensation of human government, the dispensation of promise, the dispensation of law, and then last Wednesday night we've seen about grace. But tonight we're going to see about the tribulation period. Now here's where a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, but some people differ. The amillennialists believe that there is no tribulation period. When Jesus comes back, He steps out on the clouds, He gets His children, destroys the earth, and that's the end of it. And that's just a quick view of what they believe. The post-millennial believes that we're going to usher in and that the kingdom, things are going to get so much better that things are going to get better and better and we'll usher in the kingdom. We all know better than that, don't we? We know that man does not get better. He's got worse over the years. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a preacher who is a full-time evangelist. He actually ran in to a post-millennial church up in Virginia. They actually believe that, that they're going to usher in the kingdom. But we're what's called pre-millennialist or pre-tribulation, if you'd let me say that, that we believe that the church is going to be raptured out or took out in that prior to the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period is a period that is going to last for 7 years, and it is for the judgment and that of Israel But it's going to involve the whole world, and God's going to judge the whole world by the time at the end of it. Now listen, let me say tonight that God is not done dealing with the nation of Israel. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 11. We'll come back to Matthew 24 here in a minute. But Romans chapter 11. Like I say, the tribulation period, that 7-year period, and we'll look at the 7 years here in a minute, is primarily in that for the nation of Israel. So God is not done with the nation of Israel. A lot of people think that God is done and that all the promises in that of the Old Testament that deals with the nation of Israel is spiritually, and that applied to the church of today. That's not true. If you go in my Bible, if you go over and look at some of the headings in the Old Testament, in the Song of Solomon or in some other places, it talks about God comforting the church. Now we could probably make a spiritual application out of that scripture that God can comfort the church, but I'll just tell you, in the Old Testament, God wasn't dealing with the church in the Old Testament. God was dealing with the nation of Israel. Amen. And so we need to understand that. But God is not done with the nation of Israel. So if you can get that in your mind tonight, that he's not done. Now I want to back up and begin to read. Let's just read in verse 1. I'll read till I get to where I need to be. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And it by grace, and it is no more of works, no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. Now what did he say? He said there was a remnant, remember? There's a remnant, that of the nation of Israel, that was going to trust the Lord, no doubt right there. But he said, Israel hath not obtained which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now you see why God done some things that he done. It was, why did he give the Gentiles salvation in the way that he done it? No doubt he loved us, but it was also and that to provoke the nation of Israel unto jealousy. A God that they said was only theirs is now mine also. He said, now watch this right here, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world. Did you catch that? He said, look, the nation of Israel falling, that is riches of the world. And the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, or of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Imagine if Israel believed God and trusted God. Imagine how much richer and fuller it would be. That's what Paul's saying right here. He said, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. The apostle Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. It was his office. He is very possessive and singular of it too, by the way, in verse 13. If I by any means may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? He said, my soul, if God cast them away and he reconciled the whole world, imagine what's going to happen when they're put back in their rightful place. He said, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, talking about the Gentiles now, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. That will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. See, it was a mystery. It was a thing that was hid. The church was hid. We've already seen that in the grace age. The church was hid, but Israel being cut off was hid. All that was hid. All that was a mystery. And them being restored was... He said, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now here it is. Notice he's not got a period there, but he's got a comma, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So God is not done with the nation of Israel. And you have to understand that to really understand the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period, that 7-year period, and listen, if there's some things you don't understand in there, you catch me after service, but I think Romans 11 is very well self-explanatory. And I don't think that me and you can really understand how great that it would be if Israel was restored into their standing in that with God. It would just be great if they were able to be that way. And one day it's going to happen, and we'll see that. Especially during the kingdom. But when the church is raptured out, when the church is called away, if you let me say that, then the tribulation period is going to inset upon the face of this earth. Now the church is not going to have to endure and that the wrath of God or the tribulation and that of this world. If you go back to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, we find that John is raptured out. He's called out before all those wicked things, all those judgments, let me say that, I won't call them wicked things, all those judgments are poured out upon the face of the earth. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The church, the saved, will not see the wrath of God. Thank God for that. But when the tribulation starts, when the church is raptured out, the Antichrist will either be on the scene or he will step out on the scene at that time. I believe he's in the world right now. That's how close I believe the rapture of the church is. I believe it's imminent. I believe Jesus is coming any day now. And I believe the Antichrist is on the scene. I believe he's somewhere in this world. Now, if you go and you read, we're just going to do an overview of the tribulation period. He's going to start out, according to the book of Daniel, and that to be real friendly with the nation of Israel. But halfway through that thing, he's going to turn on the nation of Israel. The Bible talks about the 70 weeks and that in the book of Daniel over there. And the Bible talks about that 70th week. And I'll get there here in a minute. But it talks about that 70th week in Daniel 9 and verse 27. It says, in the midst of that week. So in other words, in the middle of that 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to turn against them. They will at this time, I really believe, according to the Bible, they will have built the temple. They will have worship restored. They will be doing what they know to do. And during the middle of all that, he's going to turn on them. And the Bible talks about, if you go back to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Go back with me. And by the way, Matthew 24 is tribulation scripture. That's what it's talking about. I think we've discussed that before, that Matthew 24 is tribulation scripture. That's why a lot of people have trouble with verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. A lot of people have a lot of trouble with that scripture. You realize that's tribulation scripture wrote to a Jew that's going to be here during the time of the tribulation. They're going to have to endure. I'll get there here in a minute. But I want you to look what the Lord says in verse 15. of Matthew 24. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So he's talking about the time when the Antichrist, and that turns against the nation of Israel. He's going to set up that abomination of desolation. It's where he sets up idol worship in the temple itself. Go to the book of Daniel. Go to the book of the Revelation. You'll read that. That he's going to set himself up as God. So we find that the nation, or that tribulation period, is for the nation of Israel. Why? Because they rejected the God of the Old Testament, and they rejected his son when he came. Pilate goes out there, who was nothing but a Gentile that didn't know nothing about God, if you let me say that. Maybe he did know something. He knew enough to say this. He went out there and he took some water and he washed his hands and saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. And in the very next verse, and answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And so God said, okay, I'll let that happen. I'll let his blood be on you and on your children. And all down through time, it has been. And like I say, if you read your Bible, you'll find out by the time that God is done with the nation of Israel and judging them and bringing the rebels out of that nation, there is just a remnant left. Now, the tribulation period has many names. Matthew chapter 24, we read it right here in verse verse 21, it calls it the Great Tribulation. In Jeremiah chapter 30, it's called a time of Jacob's trouble. In the book of Daniel chapter 12, it's called a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. You go to the book of Isaiah chapter 2 or Joel chapter 1, and you find it's called the Day of the Lord. In Malachi chapter 4, it's called the Great and dreadful day of the Lord. You want to go to the book of Joel, chapter 1, and read the latter part of that chapter, and read the first part and that of chapter 2, and it lays out what God is going to do to the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, let's just go over and look at it. Take your Bible and go to the book of Joel tonight. Hold your place in the book of Matthew and go to the book of Joel. Joel chapter 1. We don't get in the book of Joel that much, do we? So when you find it, I'm trying to Think what was around. I'm trying to remember all my... Seems like it's right before Amos. Am I right about that? Yeah, it's right before Amos. You find Obadiah, you'll back up to Amos, and back up one more, and you'll find Joel. And it's right after the book of Hosea. You find Hosea, you can find the book of Joel in the Old Testament. I'll give you some time to get there. And if you have to, I'm like Brother Ted Pegram. Brother Ted said, I never could find nothing in my Bible. And he said, I always hated to be set beside another preacher and have to look in the front of my Bible to find out what page the book of the Bible was on. He said, I hated to do that. He said, sometimes you just had to do what you had to do. And I understand that, especially when you get over there in these little books in the Bible. They're a little hard to find sometimes. But the book of Joel, I want you to look in chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture, yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of the waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpets in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, and a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and his horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of the fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall be gathered blackness, or shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. That day's coming, by the way. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? So there's a great day coming for the nation of Israel. If you look in Daniel chapter 4 or Daniel 9, it talks about the 70 weeks. I'm not going to go over there, but it talks about the 70. It actually talks about the weeks from the time the 400 and there's 70 weeks in there, and each week each day represents a year out of that week. So you have a 7-year period times those 70 weeks. And so we get down to the last time right there, and he's talking about 7 years. And the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 11, as I said in Daniel 9, it talks about in the midst of that week, the Antichrist turns against the nation of Israel. In Revelation chapter 11, the Bible talks about those two witnesses over there. And he said, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." And I believe those two witnesses over there, I believe, and I can't prove this, but I believe they're Moses and Elijah. One, because they do the miracles that Moses and Elijah done in the Old Testament. And two, by the way, who did the Lord Jesus have with him on the Mount of Transfiguration? He had Moses and Elijah. But he said that that was going to last 1,260 days, which is 1,260 days. You divide that by 360 days in a year. That's a Jewish calendar, by the way. And you find 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 13, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy," he's talking about the Antichrist, "and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. So you got to remember that 3 years, the first 3 years, and that of the tribulation period, if you'd let me say that, is, I won't say that it'll be good, but the Antichrist will be for the nation of Israel. You say, how is God, why does God do, I don't know why God's doing it the way that he's doing it, or allows it to do what he's doing, but I do know that's what he's going to do. We look for the why a lot of times and just trying to figure out that this is the way that it's going to be. I try to remember a lot of times when I run into something and I just ask that question, why, Lord, would you allow it to be this way? That the secret things belong unto the Lord. He's got a reason for how he does what he does. Now, quickly tonight, and I'm going to be fast, I want to look at the characteristics of this 7-year period. According to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's going to be a time of much deception. I'll go there and read this to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as he's talking about the last day. Bible said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, and the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming," talking about the Antichrist, "even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now he's talking about the Antichrist right there. He said he's going to come, and that with signs and lying wonders. Much deception is going to be had during this time. By supernatural signs, folk are going to be deceived. Devil's got power. We know that tonight. Matthew chapter 24, the Lord told his disciples, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." He said during the tribulation period, great signs and wonders is going to happen. Revelation chapter 13, how you find that the beast over there comes up out of the earth, and he exercises all that power of the first beast before him. And the Bible said, "He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast." So during the tribulation period, listen, I honestly believe this, the Holy Spirit's going to be withdrawn. We're going to be taken away. I don't believe the Holy Spirit's going to work in the same way that he's working now. Amen. I believe when the Bible talks about 2 Thessalonians, "He that now letteth will let to be taken out of the way," I believe that is talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we find that he's taken out of the way, and then the Antichrist can come on the scene. And so he's going to have great power. He's called the prince and the power of the hour. Satan is. Now you've got to remember that. That's who's controlling all of this. And so during this time, the people of God, the holy people, the nation of Israel, will be persecuted by the Antichrist and by his people. There's a few things that's going to take place. God is going to judge the world during this time. But prior to him judging the world, the Antichrist is going to be persecuting the nation of Israel. Daniel chapter 7, when it talks about the Antichrist. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times and the dividing of times." 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days. Daniel 8, "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." Again, tribulation, and that for the nation of Israel. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." We're looking at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9. Or in verse 8, the Lord said, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Talk about what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. Again, when you look at verse 13, that's why they have to endure to be saved. They have to endure that tribulation. We don't endure tribulation. We don't. Listen, I quit enduring stuff a long time ago. As one preacher said, I've got to enjoy my salvation. Listen, we are to enjoy our salvation. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. I'm not enduring nothing. I'm enjoying my salvation. Take your Bible and go to the book of Revelation chapter 7. Then I'm going to move on, okay? Revelation chapter 7. What's going to happen during this time? There's going to be supernatural signs. Folk are going to be deceived about who the Antichrist is. I'm going to deal with that here in just a second, a little more. But then what's going to happen is the people of God is going to be persecuted. And that for rejecting the God of the Old Testament and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 7. Look in verse 14. Let's go back to verse 13. We've got a picture of heaven at this time. And here John is, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne, that dwell among them, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." Now let me poke right here, and I read that, studying for this, and read it, studying for the book of the Revelation all these times. We read over that and don't think much of it. During that time of persecution, the nation of Israel, those that have run and realized that remnant that is going to believe God during this time, there's going to be a remnant that believes God and going to trust him. Listen, the Bible said that in verse 16, those that had come through the great tribulation, he said, they're not going to be hungry anymore. I believe literally that during the tribulation period, those that believe God and that the Antichrist is trying to kill, they're going to starve to death. Some are going to die in that of starvation. He said they're not going to be hungry anymore. He said they're not going to thirst anymore. He said they're not going to have the sunlight on them, nor any heat. Now, I take that scripture literally. And so I believe that they are going to they're going to be outside. They're going to be on the run. Remember what the Lord said? If you're on the housetop, He said, if you're on the housetop, you come down. Don't even go in the house to get anything. He said, run. He said, "If it's a bad thing if a woman gives suck, or if it's on the Sabbath day or during the winter. Hey, listen, traveling is hard during the wintertime. You can only travel so far without breaking the law on the Sabbath day. You see? They're going to be on the run. I'm glad I ain't going to be here. Amen. Let me read on. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living water, fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. So I would say that they done a lot of crying during that great tribulation period. The kingdom gospel will be preached during that time. Now I'm just doing a survey, just a quick survey of this. If you go back to Matthew chapter 24, as the Lord is telling His disciples, what is the kingdom gospel? The kingdom gospel is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist, if you go over there and you look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, John comes out preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He said, so it's going to be preached during the time of the tribulation period. Now, I really believe this, that when that thing is preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe He's going to tell the nation of Israel there, that one that you rejected. I have no proof on this, by the way. You can throw this out. But I believe that they're going to point, and they're going to say, that one that came and went to Calvary, He's the Savior, and He's coming again, you see. You better get some things straightened up and get it right. Matthew chapter 4, from that time when Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus in Matthew 10 sent His disciples out to preach, and He told them to preach the kingdom gospel. It'll be a time of war. If you look in Daniel chapter 11, Zechariah 14, Revelation 9, and Revelation 16, you'll find that war is just going to be all over the place. It's going to be continual fighting. Demonic activity is going to take place. Revelation 9, Revelation 13. Look with me in Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Talking about demonic activity during this time. I mean, it's going on now, but it's really going to run rampant during the tribulation period. It's a time of war, but demonic activity is going. Revelation chapter 16, look in verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. All right. Now remember, I told you it was a time of war. So the great river Euphrates is dried up. When we studied the book of the Revelation, those of the east are going to make it easy for them to cross and come right on across, right on through that desert area right there, and come right on to the nation of Israel. And so then we find in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Who's the dragon? Well, it was Satan, wasn't it? And out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So you've got Satan, you've got the Antichrist, and you've got the false prophet. So there you have a triune being, don't you? There's something to think about, ain't it? God's a triune being, ain't He? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're a triune being. A body, flesh, soul, and spirit, you see. But right here we find a triune being. We find the dragon, we find the beast, which is the Antichrist, and we find the false prophet. Verse 14, they got these spirits coming out of them. For they are the spirits of what? Devils, working miracles, there you go, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. But we find that devils are out during this time. Go back to Revelation 9. I'll read this and be real quick. Or Revelation 13, excuse me. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Let me find this. Somebody didn't tear it out of my Bible. Revelation 13. Let's see. Revelation 13 talking about the demonic activity and the great miracles that's going to be seen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And so we find here, I believe this is again a time of demonic activity. Because the beast, the dragon over there, which is Satan himself, gave him that power. So we're going to find great demonic activity. If you look from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 18, you will find that not only is there great demonic activity, but the fearful judgments of God are going to be poured out upon this earth. The Antichrist, God is going to allow the Antichrist and that to afflict and to cause great tribulation upon the nation of Israel. But God is, by the time this thing rolls to an end, by the time of them 3.5 years that come to an end, he's going to judge the whole world and judge the Antichrist and judge all the world for what they've done in rejecting him and not trusting the Lord. Let me give you a couple examples real quick. Revelation 9, I'm talking about the fearful judgments of God are going to be poured out during this 7-year period. If you go to Revelation 9, you'll find that the bottomless pit is open. Locusts come out that sting like scorpions. They've got the face of a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. And they torment men. They don't kill men, but they torment men so that they want to die. But during that 5-month period, man can't find death. If you go to Revelation chapter 8, you'll find that there's a star that falls from heaven by the name of wormwood that falls into the waters and it destroys a third part of all the waters, turns them bitter so that men drinks that water and they die. Part of the grass is burned up at this time. The world's been on fire. They can't find nothing to drink. They can't die. Imagine how miserable it's going to be. I studied all this the other day and I thought about, well, you know, people watches that show, The Walking Dead. I thought about that. We've come into the zombie apocalypse here lately in the past 4 or 5 years on TV, you know. I do not watch that stuff. But I'm going to be honest with you. They ain't got nothing on Revelation chapter 8 or over there where that man's going to seek death for those 5 months. Imagine what a man's going to look like. I mean, he's been tormented by these scorpion-looking things, and he wants to die. He wants to seek death. He tries to commit suicide. He tries to jump off building, tries to shoot himself, but yet death can't find him. He said, well, that ain't going to... Oh, that's going to happen. Imagine what somebody's going to look like then. I'm just giving you something to think about. But there's going to be fearful judgments of God during that time. By the end of it all, there's going to be great signs and wonders in heaven and on the earth. If you go back to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to close, but we look in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The outer space, the second heaven, as we call it. There's three heavens. First heaven, atmosphere. Second heaven is the outer space. Been doing a little study on the outer space or had a little information on outer space. Man, that thing goes on and 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 on. You say, well, we knew that. Well, if you really think about that, just think about that. And then you got the third heaven. But the Bible said right here that what? That the sun's going to be dark and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Peter talks about it being on fire. Peter talks about it dissolving, all the elements on the earth dissolving. Talks about heaven being on fire. Imagine what that's going to look like. Imagine that if you're still here, let me say this, if you're unsaved, you missed the rapture of the church, it's too late. I wish that it wasn't too late, but it's too late. Everybody in here has heard the gospel message preached. You say, what's that got to do with anything? If you go to the book of 2 Thessalonians, and I'll read it, and you can go over here and read it if you want to, but in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 9, it talks about even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. He's talking about those that has had the opportunity to be saved during this time of grace. He said, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Everybody sitting in here has heard the gospel message. I preached it to you. I mean, I've told it to you. Mitchell's preached it to you. Hey, Jeff's taught it to Sunday school teachers. Has taught it to these little ones that's growing up. And so the gospel message has been preached to everyone. So there's no escape, you see. He said, well, I'll know. And then I'll know to run and flee with Israel. But the Bible said that you'd believe a lie. You'd be damned in that and believe a lie. And you'd follow the Antichrist. That's why you need to get that straightened up now. And get your salvation now. Now, get saved now so that you don't have to worry about the tribulation period. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that thing. God's going to judge the nation of Israel by the Antichrist. He's going to purge out the rebels out of the nation of Israel. But the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the Antichrist and going to be poured out upon the rest of this world. If you go over and you read the book of the Revelation, chapter 6, you're going to find that they're going to run to the mountains and to the caves and ask for the rocks to fall upon them, to hide them from the wrath of Him, from the one that sits upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb during that time. They're going to run and they're going to hide because they know. Listen, that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, for He saith, I've heard thee in time accepted, and in death salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Get saved now. I do believe that there's going to be some in that in the nation of Israel or those that are proselyted in that if they've not heard the gospel message. And by the way, there are people in the world that's not heard the gospel message. If they've not heard the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If they've not heard that. Listen, I believe that they can flee and they'll have to endure to the end. I believe that the same be saved. I believe what the Bible says. But I do know this, that if you've heard the gospel, there's no salvation after that. Not if you come. Not if you come and miss, or not if you don't come and miss the rapture of the church because you miss salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads tonight. Listen, if you've never been saved, you said, preacher, it's a Wednesday night. Look across the crowd. Everybody's probably been saved. I don't know that, and you don't either. But I do know this. I do know this. You can be saved tonight. If you don't know that you're going to make it through that time, because, friend, here's the thing. Before all that sets in, before all that time sets in, the Lord Jesus is going to come get His church and will not be here. And we won't have to worry about it. But it's a 7-year period. Listen, if you need to come get saved tonight, we're going to have no music, but if you need to come pray, I want you to come tonight. How about anybody in the house tonight need to come? I want to beg you. I want to beg you tonight. If you're lost, come get saved. If you got a need, I want you to come tonight. You might well come thank the Lord that we're not going to be here during that time. What a horrible time, an awful time that's going to be poured out upon the face of the earth. Does anybody need to come pray tonight?